Okay, I want to get into this. I'm going to read two scriptures to you this morning to start. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 in two different versions, and then I'm also going to read James 1:22. So Colossians 2, 6 and 7, if you have YouVersion, you can open that up, and we have all the notes there as well. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, and actually we have it on the screen today here at Northern. So it says this, it says, "And now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." Now, I know Bill Forbes read this last week, but I want to read it to you in the Passion Translation, okay, once more. Listen to this in the Passion Translation. It says, "In the same way you received Jesus, our Lord and Messiah, by faith, continue your journey of faith, progressing further into your union with him. Your spiritual roots will grow deeply into his life as you are continually infused with strength, encouraged in every way. For you are established in the faith you have absorbed and enriched by your own devotion to him." Did you hear that last phrase? You are established in the faith that you have absorbed. Look at somebody and say, absorbed. I want you to pay attention to this today. I want you to pay attention to this thought and to this word today. Absorbed. You are established in the faith that you have absorbed. You have to absorb the faith. That's how you become established. Can I just turn it that way for you? You have to absorb the faith in order to be established. Now look at James 1:22. James 1:22 says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves." One more time. "But don't just listen to God's word." Look at somebody and say, "You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves." Okay? Now that's about as plain as it can get, isn't it? Don't just listen. Do it. If we're going to grow strong in the faith, today I'm talking about roots, I'm talking about growing. Growing. The first week we talked about uprooting lies and weeds and the stuff that the enemy had planted in our lives. And then Bill talked last week about establishing roots in good soil, establishing like we should in the faith. And today I'm going to talk about growing. How do we grow? Once we establish roots, how do we grow? See, I think establishing roots is once you give your heart and life to Jesus, once you make that decision and you make that profession of faith, I think that is the beginning of planting the seed in the good soil. But then you're establishing roots and you start to grow. How do you grow? How do we grow in the faith? That's one of the most difficult things I've seen in the church today is I see a lot of people making a confession of faith, but I don't see a lot of growth. I'm just being real as a pastor and having done a lot of counseling with a lot of Christians. I see a lot of baby Christians out there, even though they might have been in the faith for a number of years. They're still drinking milk. You know, remember Kim said at the end of last year, the beginning of this year, she said, "This is the year to cut teeth. This is our teeth-cutting year as the body of Christ, as the church, as this church. We're cutting teeth this year, and teeth-cutting is a sloppy mess, isn't it? Slobbering, sloppy mess. And I feel like that's where we're at right now. We're just slobbering all over each other. But that's okay. I can take the slobber as long as I know you're cutting teeth. When I can't handle the slobber is when you continually slobber but no teeth are coming in. Because I can only feed you a bottle for so long. The larger we grow, the harder it is to take care of babies. And we're not going to grow if babies are trying to feed babies. If you can't feed yourself, how do you expect to feed someone else? Right? Amen. So we have to learn to grow. We have to start growing. It's not enough to establish the roots. We have to now grow. So if we're going to grow strong in the faith, then we need to realize it's not enough to just read the Word. See, a lot of people think if I just read the Word every day, if I just read it, then that's good enough. That's gonna take me where I need to go. No, that's not good enough. You need to read the Word, but that's not enough. I'm about to show you that in a minute. If you're going to grow strong in the faith, it's not enough just to go to church. Are y'all okay today? Are you here? You know, every once in a while, a good, hey, yeah, that's good. I'm here. Thank you. I want to make sure you're connecting with this. It's good to go to church. You need to go to church. Listen, it's not about legalism, and it's not about religion. It's not about any of those things. I want you to understand, you know by now, if you've been attending here long enough, you know our hearts. We don't want to make you do something. We want you to do something because you connect with the Word of God, because you feel it in your heart. You're connecting with the Spirit of God, and you're going where He's leading you. Right? We want you to go where Holy Spirit leads you, not where we tell you to go. So if you're listening to the Spirit of God, if you're listening to Holy Spirit, don't you think He's going to want you to connect with the body of Christ on a regular basis? Amen? It's important to connect with the body in a corporate setting such as this. You know what you just experienced in worship this morning. You know how His Spirit touched you in a way that the way you're touched in the corporate setting is just unique and different, isn't it? Does it not encourage you to look around this room and watch other people just experiencing the joy of the Lord? Doesn't that affect you like it does me? I look around. I'm going to point you out, Phil and Judy. I looked out here this morning and I saw Phil and Judy Lagore out here just worshiping the Lord with reckless abandon. It was just a beautiful thing. Hands raised, smiles on their face, tears coming down. It was just an awesome thing. And that blesses me. I can't get that at home in my prayer closet. What do you mean? It's okay to look around while you're worshiping? Absolutely. I encourage you to do it. If you're just standing here like this, you know, eyes closed as tight as they can get, you're missing something. It's okay to look around at your brothers and sisters and watch the joy of the Lord well up inside of them and come out of them. It's good to do that. I encourage you during worship. You know, yeah, it's all right. Yeah, good. Woo! Okay. So, you know, we're also used to standing here looking at the screen, right, or looking at the band, right, like this. And I know it's weird, like it's really weird right now that my back is turned to you and I'm talking to you. It's strange, right? Because we get so used to certain things. But I know in worship it's weird, but if you just turn around like this and you're like, probably don't do that. Don't do that. Probably not. Probably not that. That'd be weird. Just stare at somebody. That'd be strange. But turning around is just like experiencing what's happening in the room. We are visual creatures. Amen? We're visual creatures. And so when you do that, if something happens, I'm just telling you, you should do it. You should do it. Next week, I'd love to see you all just like, wow. But you need to go to church if you're going to experience those type of things. But it's not enough just to go to church. And it's not enough just to do a Bible study with your friends. And it's not enough just to speak the language, the Christianese language. Brother, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored, brother. Yes, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, I like what Michael Jr. said one time. Michael Jr., he's a comedian, Christian comedian, if you've heard him. He said one time, he asked somebody, are these your keys? And they said, I got the keys to the kingdom. He said, yeah, but like, are these your keys? I mean, we can get so Christianese sometimes, right? Our language just flows out of us without even realizing it. And you know, whatever, but it's not enough just to talk the talk. It's not enough just to go to school and receive a theology degree. It's not enough to have all the appearances but lack the substance. Jesus, speaking to the church in Sardis, he said this. He said, I know that you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. You think I say strong stuff. I'm just following my leader. That's Jesus. I know you have a reputation of being alive. I know you look like you're alive, but you're dead. How would you like that, huh? Gain a lot of members that way. That's what he said. In other words, he was saying appearances aren't enough. Many people have been fooled over the years by flashy, charismatic appearing people. But there was no substance. They were flashy and they were charismatic and they had a great personality and they're an eloquent communicator and all of those things. But that's all good and everything as long as there's substance, as long as it's built on the rock. But if there's no substance, all that flash and appearance is nothing but shallow ground. So it's not enough for you to have your reputation or a history, let's put it that way, a history of being alive. Well, my family was raised in church, and I've been raised in church. Well, that's good and everything, but that's not enough. Are you hearing me this morning? Jesus went on to say in this same scripture, he said, I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Not your words, not your reputation, not your appearance. Your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. He said, go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. In other words, don't just listen to God's word. Do what it says. Now, I want to show you something today because we definitely grasp this when it comes to natural things. You know, like for instance, this right here. Anybody seen one of these before? Everybody know what this is? This is a Frisbee. How many have played Frisbee before? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand, because if you haven't, I'm going to pick on you. Played Frisbee before, all right? Did you know that Frisbee has instructions? Did you know that? They're right here on the back. How to play Frisbee. Yes, throwing a Frisbee. All right, this would be good to know. The most important aspect of any game of Frisbee is in the throwing. When throwing, you should step towards your target or at very least shift your weight from back foot to front foot. Concentrate on rotating shoulders, hips, and legs through the point of release and then a natural follow-through. Keep a straighter arm for distance or curl the elbow and exaggerate the snap at the end of the throw for the greater spin on the disc. Okay, did anybody get that? Anybody? Let me read it again. Hold on. No, I'm just kidding. Here's backhand. There's a backhand form. Simply place your forefingers under the rim of the disc and your thumb on top. Reach back and swing your arm alongside of your body, releasing the disc toward the target. Tilt the outside edge of the disc down slightly upon release. Follow through. Okay. Finger flip. There's a finger flip. Oh, wait. Catching the Frisbee. Of course, no game of Frisbee can be complete without the catch. It's just... Right? That's what would happen, I guess. I don't know. I'm guessing. Because I'm reading the instructions for the first time ever. Catches can be made with either hand. Well, that's good to know. The disc is always spinning, okay? So be sure to make a strong squeeze when catching. I mean, okay, so it's like this. Like, what if I just walked around with this? You see, it's still in the package, right? What if I just walked around with this all day and said, I'm a Frisbean? Yep, I'm a Frisbean. I have read the instructions of how to play Frisbee from cover to cover. In fact, I read them from cover to cover every year. At least once a year, I read from cover to cover the instructions of how to be a Frisbean. I do. I have a lot of the Frisbee instructions memorized. I do. I'm glad you said that. I mean, what if I did that and then somebody said, well, how do you play? Well, have you thrown it before? No, but I know. I've read about it. I've read how to throw it. I've read how to catch it. I've read the finger flip and I've read the backhand. I've read all of those things. I know it. I have even gone to school and got a Frisbee degree. I have a Frisbeeology degree. I do. I have a Frisbeeology degree. I'm a Frisbean. You should be like me. You should be a Frisbean too. Being a Frisbean is the only way to be. There's no other way but to be a Frisbean. Well, how do you know? Because I've read it from cover to cover. I read it every year. Every day I at least read one sentence of how to be a Frisbean. Yeah, but do you apply it? Do you know how to play it? Have you thrown it before? Have you ever done it? No, but I read it. I know about it. It's all right here. Is this making sense to you today? Am I getting the point? Am I driving it home to you today? That's what we look like when we tell everybody we're Christians, but we don't put the words that are in this book into action. Well, I read it every year. I read it from cover to cover every year. My daily reading, Bible reading plan every year. I read the whole thing. Yes, I do. I got a lot of it memorized. Yeah, but do you put it into action? Because you don't truly know it until you put it into action. You actually have to take it out of the package. And you actually have to do what you've been reading about. Because until you do what you've been reading about, you really don't know how to do it. Okay, so it said to shift your weight and tilt it down, so downward. Is that how you do it? I mean, is that a good throw for as Frisbeans go? I mean, I'm a Frisbeeologist, so. Are you getting me? Has anybody ever not thrown a Frisbee before? If you've never thrown a Frisbee in your entire life, raise your hand. Nobody. Rose, you've never thrown a Frisbee before in your entire life. Ready? No, I'm just kidding. Rose, it wouldn't be enough for me just to read these instructions to you or for you to read them yourself. In order for you to really understand how to throw a Frisbee, I'd have to spend time with you and help you learn how to throw it. Or you'd have to spend time putting the words that you read into action. Right? Same thing goes for the Word of God. Why do we think we can grow as Christians and we don't put the Word into action? We read about it. We go to church. We have Bible studies. We make a lot of Facebook posts about it. Right? It's all over Facebook. Trust me. Everywhere on Facebook. It's interesting when I see Facebook posts. I'm going to step into this. I really am this morning. It's interesting when I see Facebook posts from people about certain things and then I don't see that actually acted out in their life. You know what I'm saying? Do us all a favor. If you're not going to actually put it into action, don't put it on Facebook. It's not helping our cause as Christians. I'm trying to gain people into the kingdom of God. What are you trying to do? I'm sorry, that sounded harsh. I know you're trying. But you get what I'm saying? Have you ever, I mean, that just drives me crazy. You know? And now I don't say it on Facebook and I won't, but I'll say it here because this is my platform and this is what God's given me. Help us out, brothers and sisters. Help us out. If you're not going to live it out, don't plaster it all over Facebook. Because those people who know you, who are your friends, that know you on Facebook, not the people that are in, like, Utah, that friended you through a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend, and they don't know you, and they like every post that you post. But the people that you live with, the people that you work with, the people in this very city that know you, they know whether you're actually living it or not. And if you're not, and you post it all over out there, and you don't actually put it into action and live it, you got this big post about loving God and loving people, and if you just love people, but then you're hateful to people at work. You know what they're doing? They're going, I don't want any part of that. If that's what being a Christian's all about. All right, who wants a Frisbee? Who wants a Frisbee? See a lot of people that want a Frisbee. Right there. You ready? You ready? Yeah, you stand up. I don't know if this can be good or not. It's been a long time. Oh, hey, all right. Give them that Frisbee. I'll give you one more analogy. A game that I really love. Baseball. Rodney, come on up here. Help me out. How many of you like to play baseball? Yeah, we are. Come on. Rodney Forbes, everybody. Give Rodney a hand. I want to talk about I want to talk about this real quick. So reading the instructions, reading the Word of God is important, but it's not enough until you put it into action. But growing happens exponentially when you are discipled. When you have someone who already knows the Word and has put it into action and has lived it out and truly knows the Word because of that, and they teach you and they help you and they guide you. Unless you have that, it's going to be a slow growth. That's why Jesus set the example for us by initially, as he started his ministry, calling 12 disciples. Because he was teaching them how to live it out. Jesus didn't just talk about it. He lived it. He didn't just give them the words. He lived it in his actions. Everything he did, every action that he took, substantiated and proved the Word of God to be true. He proved it out with his life. That's what we should be doing, is proving it out with our lives. As we walk and as we do our daily activities, all of the Word should come out of us. I've said this to you many times. It's not enough to just have inlets. If you just have inlets, if you just keep receiving the Word of God and receiving the Word of God and listening and hearing the Word of God, but you never let it out, you'll just dry up and die. I've said that if you haven't heard this before, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea in Israel, two seas that are fed by the same living water. One is living and thriving, the Sea of Galilee, and one is completely dead, the Dead Sea. That's why they call it the Dead Sea. It's dead. Nothing can live in it, not even algae. Not even bacteria can live in the Dead Sea. Why? Because the Sea of Galilee has an inlet and an outlet. The Dead Sea only has an inlet. No outlets. If you don't get the Word of God out of you in the actions, you will die. So the best way to do this as followers is not just to read the Word and apply it in our lives, but also to get a buddy, to get a discipleship partner. All right? And everybody should have somebody that is farther along in the Word. If Rodney comes to me and says, hey, I want to learn how to play baseball, and I know less about baseball than he does, I'm not a good mentor for him. How many of you know that? So he's going to need to look for somebody that knows more about baseball. Fortunately, in this situation, I do know more about baseball than he does. Yes! Okay. So, like, have you ever seen, there was a commercial out a while ago, I don't know if you've seen it, but like, the little kid threw the ball and he went like that, you know what I mean? It was like one of those type of throws, and the dad was like, that's a great throw, and I'm like, that's a very encouraging father, right? That's a great throw, and then the dad went and threw and he went like that too. I was like, I get it. See, if I throw that way and I'm teaching him, how do you think he's going to throw? Right? But I can read about it, just like reading about Frisbee. And in baseball, there's ways to throw the ball that are effective, the best ways. And you're going to all these things that I do now just come naturally to me. Do you understand? I've been playing baseball my whole life. And so when I throw the ball, all of these things, the way I hold it in my hand, the way when it's in the glove, the way I turn it and touch the threads, all of those things just happen to, they just happen. I don't even think about them. They're just happening, and then I just throw the ball. Whew, that scared me. I thought I was going to throw it really bad. That was not too bad. Okay, so, but when you're teaching somebody, you have to know all of these things and why you do them and why you separate the hands when you throw and why you take the step and why it's important to follow through, and all of those things are important. So as I'm teaching him these things, if he's paying attention and listening and putting them into action, he can't just listen to me. I can't just go out with Rodney day after day after day and just talk to him about baseball. You know, we can't just go sit down and have coffee and talk about baseball. We can't just go and sit and have coffee and just talk about the Word of God all day long. That's good. You need to do that. But then you need to grab that disciple and you need to go with them and say, now we're going to go put this into action.
Go do it.
Now we're going to go do what we've been talking about. It's not enough just talking about how to love people. Now we're going to go show love.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Get back over there. So let's see how he learned there. I just taught him. I've been spending a lot of time with him. Let's see how good he is. All right. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Give him a hand. Yeah. You want to just stand up here and play the rest of the time? Thank you, Rodney. Give Rodney a hand, guys. See, there's a difference in knowing about something and knowing something. Right? I can talk day after day after day, like I said, to you about the Word of God. I can talk to you every Sunday about it like I have been for 6 years. But there's a difference between hearing the Word and doing what the Word says. When you put knowledge into action, you become intimately acquainted with the subject. Did you hear that? I'm going to say it again. Some of you need to write this one down. When you put knowledge into action, you become intimately acquainted with the subject. You have to take what you're learning, what you're hearing, what you're absorbing in your mind, and you have to put it into action. And by doing that, it becomes a part of who you are. Just like with the baseball, and I was telling you, I don't even think about it anymore. Being a follower of Jesus, fulfilling the actions that he's required us to fulfill should just be who we are. It should just come out of us. We shouldn't have to think about how to love people. Jesus said this in John 8. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The word know in this passage of Scripture is the Greek word gnosko. The word gnosko means to become intimately acquainted with. It's actually the same word that Mary used to the angel of the Lord when he said, you're pregnant with child. She said, how can I be pregnant when I have not known a man? Same exact word, gnosko. How can I be pregnant when I haven't been intimate with a man? Listen to this same scripture in the Message version. It says, then Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in him. Okay, that's us, y'all. We claim to be Christians, right? Jesus turned to those who claimed to believe in him and said, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
If you stick with this, living out what I have taught you, living out what I have taught you, then you will experience for yourself the truth. So let me give you one example real quick, and then I'm going to close this thing out. Let me give you one example of how we can grow by living out the Word of God. By putting the Word of God into action. You got to understand, it impacts our lives. It helps us grow. It makes us stronger in him. So John 13, 34, and 35 says this. Jesus said, "So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will," say this word with me, "know that you are my true followers." Okay, so it's one thing to agree with this scripture. How many of you agree with this scripture? How many of you agree? How many of you disagree with this scripture? Anybody? Anybody? Nope? No? So you agree with it, right? It's one thing to agree with it. Say, yeah, this is a good scripture. Yes. Yes. We should do this. We should love each other just as much as we should just love each other. We should just love each other. Yeah, that I don't know about that next part, just as much as Jesus has loved me. I mean, it sounds good, right? It reads well. But do we actually live it out? Do we actually do this? When someone is unkind to you, do you do this? When someone has hurt your feelings, someone has intentionally said hurtful things about you, do you do this? When someone has been unkind to your family, hurt your children, said hurtful things about your children, your family, do you do this? And when your boss has been horrible to you, unfair and unkind to you, do you do this? I mean, the Bible says, this word says that it has to be the same kind of love, the same love, the same way that Jesus loves us. In other words, it can't be our version of his love. There can't be conditions and contingencies on this. We're not fulfilling the scripture. We're not actually putting it into action if we're going to put conditions and contingencies on it. Jesus said, in the same way that I have loved you, you should love other people. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No conditions. How many of you know that Jesus loves us unconditionally? How many of you know that Jesus died for us while we were still sinners? So shouldn't we love others while they are still sinners? I think so. I think so. The second thing I want to point out to you about this is that Jesus said, when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, what's it say? Look at this. Who will know? Everyone will what? Know. Guess what the word know is? Same word in the Greek, gnosko. This is what's so powerful about this. If we'll just understand and get this, if we'll just trust God that by living out his word, it's going to change lives. Because when you live out his word, it changes your life. You become intimately acquainted with it, with the truth, and it sets you free. But this scripture tells us that when we love other people in the same way that Jesus loves us, that it not only changes us, but everyone else will become intimately acquainted with his love. Isn't that powerful? Everyone that you love in that way will become intimately acquainted with it. In other words, love never fails. It never fails. People have said to me a lot in the last few years, "Man, I love you. You and Kim, you guys just live it out. You guys just love people so well." And you know what I say to them? A lot of times I don't know what to say, and I've learned how to say some things to them about this, because sometimes it early on it felt awkward for me. You know what I mean? Because, you know, we want to say stuff like, well, trying to be humble, right? Say stuff like, oh, thank you, but it's not me, it's Jesus. All glory to him, Jesus, you know. And obviously all glory to Jesus. I mean, if I'm loving well, don't you think he's receiving glory? Yes. So I've learned that I need to receive this and use it as an opportunity to teach if I can. So when people say it to me, I say, you know, I haven't always been this way. I was a rotten, horrible person. I had thoughts and intentions in my heart about and toward people I wanted to pay back people so bad at times. Sometimes I did. Sometimes I did. I used to be one of those people on Facebook that would make a post that was about somebody, but I tried to make it so much not about somebody, but it was about somebody, and I wanted to make sure that they knew it was about them, but not, you know what I'm saying? I remember being at a stoplight one time, and it was where I used to attend, be on staff at a church in Louisiana, and I was at the stoplight, which was right down the road from the church. So this is the ironic thing about it. I just leave work, which was church for me, right? I just leave as a pastor. And I come to this light, and inevitably, every time I came to this light, somebody would turn left in front of me at making a right-handed turn. How many of you understand that's illegal? Man, you need, how many, now you know it's illegal. Now how many understand it's illegal? Like I had two hands go up. If you're turning right, you have the right of way to the person turning left. Just a little driver's class for you right there. I guess I know the rules too well, right? And, and every time this they turn left in front of me, and it just, So I'd sit there, right? But listen, I know none of you have ever done this. This is how horrible I was, all right? I'd sit there and I'd have these thoughts and I'd like them. These thoughts of, man, I just wish I had a big old nasty pickup truck with a big metal steel blade on the front of it. Like in Mad Max, you know what I mean? And the next time somebody breaks the law, turns left in front of me, I'm just going to take off and make my right turn and plow right into the side of them. And then Holy Spirit would say to me, because I was listening to Holy Spirit at the time, occasionally. He'd say to me, now Bill, do you really want to do that? What if you hurt somebody? Then I'd negotiate with Holy Spirit. Well, I don't want to hurt them, Lord. I just want to mess their car up real bad. I don't want to hurt them physically. I just want to hurt their pocketbook. They'll think twice about making a left turn in front of a right-handed turn ever again. Now, can we just be honest? Has anybody ever had thoughts like that before? Just be honest. It's okay. It's okay. Join the club. No, don't join the club. And so the Lord began to work on me. Began to speak to me, and I began to listen, and I began to put it into action. And when somebody hurt me, instead of looking to hurt them back or to get back at them in the way that the world would, I wanted to get back at them in the way Jesus would. So you know how Jesus gets back at people that hurt him? He loves them. He loves them. Isn't that the craziest thing? Doesn't that just blow your mind? When I first started doing it, it took a little while. Okay, I'm just going to be honest. It took a little while. Because I was like, and even to this day, there are times that the Lord has to remind me, wait, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. You know, because you put it into action. You become intimately acquainted with my word. Because you've put this into action and it has set you free. So now when somebody does wrong to me, most of the time it doesn't take me that long. It just comes naturally, just like throwing that baseball. It comes naturally. Just the love of God comes out. Because I know it's the way. I know it's the truth. I know it's the life. So it just comes out. So if we're going to do this, if we're going to grow in the faith, if we're going to grow and become strong, it has to come out. The Word of God has to come out in our actions. We have to live it out every day. We have to try to live it out every day. I mean, when you say, well, how do I start? Just start. Just start. Just step out there in the world and do it. Well, what if I mess it up? Hey, you're going to mess it up. I promise you. But at least you're doing it. And the more you do it, it's just like this right here. When you first start playing this game, you're going to mess it up. It's just not going to come naturally to you. You're not going to know how to do it, and you're going to do it. I remember when I was teaching my son to play baseball, and my daughters. When I was teaching them how to throw, I remember so well, they didn't even know how to hold the ball. So they kind of hold the ball like this. And I don't know if you play baseball, but you don't hold the ball like this and try to throw. It doesn't come out of your hand well. The best way to hold the ball is with two or three fingers, like this, for baseball. And there's a natural way to do it, and it all comes fluidly once you do it enough. So when you get out there doing this, putting the Word of God into action, it's going to take time, and you're going to mess it up, and you're going to make some bad throws. But at least you're throwing. And if you're throwing, you're growing. Ooh, that's good right there. That wasn't even in my notes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, I want to say this to you today as we close. If you desire to grow healthy and strong, you have to get out there. You have to get out there and put the Word of God into action. You might say this. You might say, well, Pastor Bill, I've had many people say this. My marriage is in shambles, or I'm having difficulty in my marriage. We're just having trouble right now. We're just not getting along. We're having trouble. Then I would say, are you applying the Word of God? Are you putting the Word of God into action? Because I promise you, if you put the Word of God into action, it will fix your marriage. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to go for counseling. I've counseled many people in their marriage, and that's great. Mainly counseling for me, Christian counseling, is just to remind you of the Word of God. You come to me for counseling in marriage, the first thing I'm going to say to you is, are you putting the Word of God into action? You're both Christians. Are you living out the Word of God? Not just out there in the world, in your marriage. Husbands, are you loving your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for the church? That's the question you need to ask yourself every day. How do I fix my marriage? Love my wife as Christ loves the church. I've had husbands say to me this before. If a man comes to me for counseling without his wife and he starts talking about his wife, I say, stop. She's not here. We're not going to talk about her. We're talking about you. I don't care what she's done. I don't care what she's doing. I want to talk about you and what you're doing and what you're not doing. And I've actually had men get up and walk out of my office because all they want to do is just meh, about my wife. That's your problem right there. If you'll just talk sweetly and kindly and lovingly and say the things that Jesus would say to her, well, what if she doesn't reciprocate? Doesn't matter. We're talking about you. Wives, have you submitted yourself to your husband? Respect and honor? Are you loving him in that way?
Well, he just doesn't do what I tell him to do.
Well, I get that. It took me a long time to learn that lesson with Kim. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. We all know who wears the pants in this family. The three of my girls. I would also say, if you're saying, well, my finances are a mess. They're a mess. I can't pay the bills, and it just seems like can't hold down a good job, just no matter what happens, my finances are a mess, then I would say to you, are you applying the Word of God to your finances? Ooh, ouch, right? You all know this. I'm going to say it again, but you all know this. We don't talk about tithing around here a lot, but I need to. I really do. I feel like something's happening in me that God's saying, now's the time. Now's the time for you to really step up, because people are missing an important part of my word because they're not giving according to my word. They're not sowing according to my word. If you're struggling in your finances, I have the solution. It's in the Word of God. If you're applying the Word of God, the very first thing you should do is tithe. Do you understand that if you tithe, you rebuke God rebukes the devourer? Do you understand that? You cannot reap what you have not sown. None of you would go out into the field that you plowed up. You plowed the field up, but you didn't plant one seed of corn in the field. And none of you would do that and then go out in the field in the fall and go, "Where's my corn? Where's my corn, God? You promised me corn." God's saying, "Did you plant the seed?" Yeah, it is good. Amen, right? Amen. It's the truth. You want your finances fixed? Apply the Word of God to your life. Put it into action. "Well, I tried that and it didn't work." Okay, this is not like a formula that you just try for a couple of months. You know God knows your heart, right? He knows that you're just, "Okay, I'm just gonna do this for a month or two. And if I don't see a return on my investment, I'm out." Well, even corn takes 3 months to harvest. That's good stuff right there. All right. Last thing. You say, "I feel like I have no purpose in my life." Are you applying God's word? God has a plan for you, and He has a purpose for you.